instead of giving an introduction to the Isha Halacha, which obviously has its merits, but by definition that sort of gets us ahead of ourselves in terms of the reading and the learning. So maybe we'll let that overview emerge naturally and organically, just from beginning to try to read carefully and learn a little bit and understand a little bit, Be'ezus Hashem. שתי דמויות המכחישות זו את זו משתקפות באיש ההלכה. There are two contradictory images which are reflected in the איש ההלכה. שתי בבואות, two shadows, שאין ראי זו כראי זו, different and distinct. Mitgalmot are embodied b'nafsho v'rucho. Mitzad echad rachok hu me'ish hadat haklali k'ruchot mizot mimayrov. On the one hand, the isha halacha is as far removed from the general religious mystical type, as far removed as east is from west, v'shaveh b'harbei drachim, and he's comparable in many ways, the ish hada'at ha-prozai, prosaic, man of cognition, think of a scientist, a mathematician. Umitzad acher, but on the other hand, harehu ish alokim, baal gisha ontologet mekudeshet l'shamayim. Maybe let's stop there and translate those five words. So the root ontos in Greek means being. So ontology, like biology, so bio means life, and biology is the study of life. And cardiology is the study of the heart. So ontology is the study of being. So Baal Gisha ontologit, the Isha Halacha possesses, he has an ontological approach, which is consecrated l'shamayim. So already here, again, and at this point, we don't really understand what it means, and we certainly don't know what its content is yet. But already here, you see that the Rav is going to revolutionize our understanding and appreciation of halacha. Right? Halacha, already here at the outset, in describing the Isha Halacha as Baal Gisha Ontologit, so it's clear, the Rav is teaching us, that Halacha not only provides a manual of do's and don'ts, but it provides an all-encompassing approach to being, to existence. It's a perspective on being and existence. No, again, that's at best partially intelligible at this point, but hopefully partially. It can't be at this point fully intelligible. Mitzad acher, from the other side, harehu isha lokim. Totally different orientation than that which one associates with the ish hadas, the type of the scientist, the mathematician. He's a ish alokim, bal gisha ontologit mekudeshet the shamayim, utfisat olam nehena miziv hashchina. So occasionally, maybe we'll comment on the translation. The translation on the whole is a very good translation. Isha Halacha is an exceedingly difficult word to translate. It's exceedingly difficult, A, because you can't translate anything unless you understand it, and it's a very profound work. B, it's the language is so rich in, on the one hand, the rabbinic idiom, on the other hand, philosophical terminology, and especially the rabbinic idiom doesn't easily or literally translate. So it's a very, very challenging work to translate, and the translation is very good. So the comments, I don't mean with the comments to demean the translation, but here, kemeduma, that the translation here is wrong. I think the translation of this sentence says, someone has the English in front of them? On the other hand, he is a man of God. So far, so good. Possessor of an ontological approach that is devoted to God. Okay, that's also good. Utfisat olam, and of a worldview saturated with the radiance of the divine presence. So he translates Nehana Miziv Hashchina as modifying the Tfisat Olam, right? And of a worldview saturated with the radiance of the divine presence. And if that's what it meant, it probably would have said Tfisat Olam Hanehanet, would have been the way to express that. It's hard to push that into the words. So it seems like, you know, as the comma is correctly placed, that the way to read and try to understand is as follows: that he's an ish alokim bal gisha, again, he's one of, right, the possessor of, he's one of a gisha ontologit mekudesh l'shamayim utfisat olam. Now that itself, as we just said, is a tremendous chiddush. That halacha carries with it, provides tfisat olam, a world view. That itself, the Rav is emphasizing. This is not just a person who's committed to a certain discipline and to, on a practical level, to a certain way of life. No, that through halacha, this is a person who has a world view, a term perhaps otherwise which we would associate with a philosophical system. No, but that's good for the point, that the isha halacha has that through halacha. And then nehne miziv hashchina is not modifying the tfisat olam, it's modifying the isha alokim. Mitzad acher, I think just textually, that's the only way it reads properly. Mitzad acher harehu isha alokim, he's an isha alokim, who's nana mizev hashchina, right? Often, the ish hadas, right, with the ayin, the ish hadas is the pursuit becomes totally secularized. The scientific pursuit, the mathematical pursuit, certainly in our day, that's often, Baruch Hashem, not always, but often the case, that pursuit, that orientation, that scientific orientation, mathematical orientation, is something which is secularized, and you wouldn't describe that individual as an Isha Elokim. You wouldn't describe him as being Nana Mizev Hashchina. And that's what the Rav is saying, that the presence within the Isha Halacha of certain elements which are comparable to that of the cognitive type, notwithstanding, but he's an Isha Elokim, he's Nana Mizev Hashchina. Yitachein. And here, this is going to come up a couple of times, even this morning in the Tisha B'Av Nedar. Obviously, whenever reading, whenever learning, so the challenge is to neither under-interpret nor over-interpret. Neither to read things too superficially and too glibly. But on the other hand, there obviously is such a thing as over-interpreting. There's Baal Tosa and there's Baal Tigra, right? There's both. How do you know when you're over-interpreting? There's no simple, no blood test, no test that one runs in a laboratory that yields results. You know, if it turns blue and if the ink fades within 2 minutes, that's an indication that you overinterpreted. Certainly, one major consideration in making that judgment is who the author is, what the profundity of mind and subtlety of expression are that he typically consistently operates with. So Kimenduma, and again, this order, even if correct, I think it is, will only be partially intelligible here on page 1, but Old Chazal Lemo'ed, Be'ezus Hashem. Where do you know the phrase Nana Mizev Hashchina from? And what is that describing?
It describes
file this away for future reference, and hopefully it will become more fully intelligible. Lav b'chdi, that the Rav describes the Isha Halacha in Olam Haza with the term that Chazal used describing Chai Olam Haba. Lav b'chdi, let's note that. Ulefichach, consequently, kasher lebdok et todato hadatit shel Isha Halacha בסימנים המופקים שהפסיכולוגיה התאורית והפילוסופיה המודרנית של הדת נתנו באישיות הדתית. So again, the the intimation that there's a transformative understanding of halacha awaiting us in trying to learn and understand Isha Halacha is again clear in this sentence. The Rav speaks of trying to analyze the religious consciousness of the Isha Halacha. Halacha clearly is obviously requires that one scrupulously check for the right hashkafa on the food one's about to eat. But if that's sort of what, if that dimension exhausts what halacha is, then I don't know if one really talks about a complex religious consciousness of Isha Halacha. So again, as in the previous line about the Baal Gisha ontologit, it's clear that halacha is something which is all encompassing. It's something which molds the person's inner life and religious experience. Isha halacha miyatzeik, he represents dmut yukan mekorit, an original image. Va'ofi atzma'i muzar, and independent, strange in quotation marks, in the sense of singular. Independent, singular character. She'ein lev chachmei hadat gas v'hem. Those who study religion are not familiar with this demut, this ofi. Vim isha dat hakvali mofia achshav l'or ha-philosophia ha-modernit betur tipus anti-tati bal stivot v'nigudim ha-na'evak kasha im toda'ato u'mitlabed v'yisurei ha-shniyut shal kiyum u'shlila yishua v'hakasha Isha halacha al achas kama v'kama. And if, in general, religious man, the English uses the Latin term homo religiosus, it's a good translation. If the general homo religiosus appears now to the light of modern philosophy as an antithetical type, who has within him contradictions and contrasts. So how much more so is that true of the Isha Halacha? Miktzato hu Isha Dat. On the one hand, it would appear that partially the Isha Halacha is the same as the homo religiosus. Umiksato isha dat, cognitive type, intellectual type. But the reality is that kulom muvdal umufla mishnehem. Is a very important point to understand. You know, the fallacy of sometimes people will study Yahadus and Lahavdil, Aleph Alvei Avdolos, and other religions from a perspective of comparative religions. The fallacy which to a large degree, to a great degree, in large measure, really invalidates that whole approach is that two things can appear phenomenologically similar, but at their root, at their core, are very different. And B, A and B sort of overlap. They're not on the same level, so they're not totally distinct. And B, if you look microscopically at two parts, they may seem the same or even identical, but when you see each part in its natural context, as part of its whole, so you realize that it's something very different. The fact that the fact that our neighbors may have a certain Sunday morning routine doesn't mean that it's fundamentally the same as what we do on Shabbos morning or any other morning of the week. Something can appear to someone who's just superficially looking from the outside in phenomenologically the same, but A, at its core, and B, in terms of the whole of which it's a part, is totally different. And that's what the Rav is saying. Miksaso ish hadas, and miksato ish hadat, but kulo muvdal muflam mishnahem. It's not that he's 50% different than each of them. He's 100% different than each of them. Because the part is defined by the whole. What the part means is in context. The part is defined by the whole. Who, the Isha Halacha, Mahaveh Tipus, he constitutes Tipus antinomy, an antinomic type, Mishum Nimuk Kafu, for a double reason. One, B'shal Nishmat Ish Hadat, Shenit Galgalalatok Yeshuto, V'hasovalat Ka'amola El, Mach Ovei Stira, V'hakrasha Atzmit. Two, B'shal Nishmat Ish Hadat, שיורדה לתוכו והמכחישה את כל מגמותיה וכמיהותיה של הנפש הדתית. That contradiction, again, with the Rav will explain in section base here, that contradiction between the desires and the tendency of the nefesh hadatit and the enterprise of the Ishadas, well, the Rav will explain that in the ensuing pages. Brahm, but one should know, sort of foreshadowing what the end of the story will be. Ein ha-nigudim, the contrast, ha-mitrotzitzim b'todato ha-datit shal ish halacha, mevi'im lidei ta'aruvet shal min b'she'en amina shasofa nivon u'kmisha. It's not that the contrasts within the persona of the ish halacha, that they remain separate and therefore opposed. That's what he means by the moshal of being a taruvus of min b'she'en amina, that they remain separate and therefore opposed. Because if that were the case, if it were just constant opposition, so then that result, that process is one which is enervating and ultimately destructive. So that would be sofa nivun ukmisha. Nivun, something is medaldel v'holeif. It becomes diminished. Kmisha is withering. Klapei laya, on the contrary, mitoch hastirot והאנטינומיות, ולכן ועולה אישיות נהדרה בקודש. On the contrary, from the contradictions, from the antinomies, emerges a resplendent personality. Shenishmatan is nakecha b'kor halavatim v'hanigudim, v'nitztarfa b'isham shel yisurei pilug ruchani. Its soul was purified in the furnace of struggles and contrasts. And through the fire of the suffering of the inner spiritual initial division within, b'mita yoter meruba mizo shel ha'ishiyot ha'datit ha'klalit, hakera hanafshi over le'ichui. In my Katan, it talks about which when a person tears kriya. So when one is allowed to be ma'ache, one is not allowed to be ma'ache. Ma'ache means to sew it back together, to bring it back together. So hakera hanafshi over le'ichui, that spiritual fissure, that spiritual tear, ultimately ends up with becoming whole. And when that happens, it's ma'ala lefamim et ha'adam lidei ma'alat shlemut kazo she'en kamoha liyof'ah ulahadar b'madregat ha'ishiyot hatama v'hamulchadet. What a person achieves, because the process was one which was fraught initially with contradiction and contrast, what he achieves in terms of the ultimate splendor, yof'ah, is more than if the personality had been harmonious all along. L'fum tsa'ara agra, l'fi hakera ha'ichwe. Let's just read a few more lines and then try to explain what this means. Hamziga ruchanit shall isha halacha mitztayenet b'tif arta v'shichlula. The spiritual mixture, combination. The idiom is to be mosaikos, because mechazal, they had to add water to the wine. So meziga means to mix. Hamaziga ruchanit, the spiritual mixture, which is the isha halacha mitztayenet, stands out b'tif arta v'shichlula ki halo hakera naga b'toch tocha shel havayato b'chavyon yeshito. Since the initial kera touched, right, his innermost recesses, so that means that the growth that it provided was on the deepest level. Yesha b'emin ha'met v'mishnatam ha'dialectic shal Heraklit v'Hegel. There's a lot of truth in the dialectical teaching of Heraclitus, ancient Greek, and Hegel. B'nogel ta'halicha havaya b'chlal. Right, so Hegel is the one who's the source of the terms in Western thought of thesis, antithesis, and synthesis. And he said that the way things develop is you have, again, the thesis and the antithesis are the two opposing forces, and then from that emerges the synthesis. The synthesis being something which represents growth, progress, development, and then the Rav says there's a lot of truth to that philosophy. Ubahashkafatam shal Kierkegaard, Karl Barth, and Rudolf Adler, biyachas al hatodah hadatit, v'hitgalmut chayavato shal ish hadat befrat, shekoach yotzer. There's a creative power, natua, planted, ba'antitiza, in antithesis. What does that mean? So let's maybe give, it's not really a mashal, it's an example. It's an example. In learning, so you learn a Gemara with a Rashi. We'll call that the thesis. Then you encounter a difficulty, something which it doesn't make any sense. Maybe the difficulty is something which seems to be inherently illogical, inherently nonsensical within the sugya. Maybe the antithesis is from how does this jive with what we know from elsewhere? And then the answer provides a deeper understanding than we had of the Gemara before the Kasha. It's not that the answer takes you back to where you were before you had the Kasha. And the answer just, we're now been relieved of that Kasha, that the Gemara, when we first read it, was good. But then Tosfos is Kasha. The Rambam was good. But then we had the Rabbi Tasoga, and now we don't understand the Rambam. So after Reb Chaim, it's not just that the Ravid's and no, you come to a deeper understanding, right? That's how all authentic learning unfolds, which is why it's not just something pedagogic. That's why the path to authentic chidushim invariably involves kashas. Exactly because of this idea that the Rebbe is presenting, that koach yotzer natua ve'antitiza. And when, in quotation marks, chidushim are generated without a kasha, so very often they turn out to be very artificial and forced and contrived and not real. Because it's the koach, it's the antitiza, it's the difficulty in the Rambam that leads to the deeper understanding in the Rambam. It's the Kasha which leads to that. And if you think of any Emes Dekesh Tekel Torah, it follows that pattern of Koach Yotzer Natua Ba'antitiza. That's why it could be, you know, again, with being careful not to overinterpret. You know, when the Rav is explaining, so the Rav is basically saying that the same process which we're familiar with intellectually in terms of learning Torah happens to the Isha Halacha existentially in terms of his inner being, that the presence initially of contrast and conflicting forces ultimately are resolved into something greater and deeper than it would have been otherwise. And again, parallel to the experience that we're familiar with from learning. Now, it could be that the Rav himself is actually hinting at this example. Again, he'll talk about it in footnote 5 explicitly, but it could be that he's hinting at this example we're giving from learning in the following sense. When the Rav says the Fum Tzara Agra, so at first glance, it's a rhetorical application. You know, the Fum Tzara Agra, just as there's a klal that schar is commensurate to the tzar that a person has, so using it basically as a melitza, you know, rhetorically over here, that the kera nafshi and all the agony and spiritual struggles which go along with that, so that yields something great and splendid. So it's really a rhetorical usage. But the Emes is, it could be that in his mind there's more than that. If you take a look at that Mishnah at the end of Pirkei Avos, the end of Parakei of Pirkei Avos, I think we spoke about this last year. So we quote this as a general clause. You know, if it was raining and you got all wet, you know, walking to shul, so you know, not to worry from tzara agra. You know, it was a little bit more difficult to make minyan this morning, so from tzara agra. But the Rambam in Perusha Mishnayos has as follows: Lefi mashem mitzta'er b'Torah yischocha. Va'omru shelo yiskayem min hachochma elamasha tilmod b'Torah omel. And it continues v'yira min hamalamid. So the Rambam understands that the klal of the Fum Tzara Agra, that Ben Hehe is talking exclusively about Talmud Torah. He's not talking about other mitzvahs. Which means that the Fum Tzara Agra is true of Talmud Torah in a different way than it's true of other mitzvahs. It is the case that, you know, if you're going to get drenched walking to shul, you know, you're scoring some points there, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is definitely going to see to it that there's a dividend. But Lufun Tzara Agra V'Talmud Torah means something much more than that. Lufun Tzara Agra V'Talmud Torah, so it's talking about Tzchar, right? But then the Rambam, Toch Kedei Dibur, segues Ben Hehe, Omer Ben Hehe, Lefimashim Mitztai Be'atorah, Yi Eschorcha, Ve'omru Shalo Yiskaye Min HaChochma Elamash Tilmod B'Torach, Omer V'yira Min HaMalamed. That for Torah to be Miskayemes, it has to be with Amola. It has to be with Yira Min HaMalamed. What's the, it's a non sequitur. How does that connect with what Ben Hehe is saying of the Fum Tzara Agra? So it's clear what the Rambam is saying is that the pshat is that by other mitzvahs, the tzar is incidental. Tefillah b'tzibur doesn't involve getting wet. The definition of tefillah b'tzibur, of what tefillah b'tzibur means, means you're in shul with nine other gedolim and you're coordinating, you're davening. Okay, maybe there's a leak in the ceiling and you're getting wet. You know, maybe it's raining, and you got wet in the way to shul, but it's incidental. So I'm telling you something that's integral to the mitzvah, to the effort of the mitzvah. The Fum Tzara Agra, the Rambam says, Ben Hehe is telling us that's integral. It's not coincidental. It's not that it will happen amol. No, it's integral to Talmud Torah. It's integral to Talmud Torah. So part of it certainly is, and the Rambam certainly indicates as much in Hilchos Talmud Torah, is the Pasuk Melech Tocha Avala Oretz Tishan. That's certainly part of the Lufum Tzara. But it's clear from the Rambam here, it's in a dakazdika way, Lechore indicated in Mishnah Torah as well. But it's clear from them here that Lufum Tzara Agra means much more than that. It doesn't mean only the Pasba Melech Tocha Vala Oretz Tisham. What it means is that just forgetting what the sleeping accommodations are and forgetting what's on the menu, that the Lufum Tzara is in the Talmud Torah itself. Within the Talmud Torah itself, and l'chora, a major part, if not exclusively, what that means, is what we were talking about. The fact that the real understanding of Torah only comes after a person is frustrated by the kasha that he doesn't understand. That sa'ar of you know, the famous story of Chaim Volozhin that came to visit the Gaon, and told him the Gaon hadn't eaten in who knows how long, because he was stuck, and he couldn't get pshat. I think they said it was something, a passage in the Zohar Kodesh, doesn't make a difference what it was for our purposes. and he sent for Chaim Volozhiner right away. He was a mitzvah. You're stuck in something. It's there's no greater tzar than that inability, that seemingly, that's, it seems to be a dead end. It seems to be that the person is stymied, and then it's only again through the prodigious exertion, effort, masha tilmud b'torah om and omol. But then the person gets to, then he gets to the deeper understanding. So that, those periods of frustration, of difficulty, so that's integral to the process. So the Fun Tzara Agra Yitachem is like alluding to this example we were giving. It's not standard that the Rav says that as a Malitza, and we're giving an example so that we can relate a little bit to this idea of Lefi HaKera HaIchoy, that the fact that there's initially contrast and conflict, that yields something deeper, greater, more authentic. No, the Rav is alluding to that instance that you have by Talmud Torah as well. Again, clearly here, he's talking about it in terms of the person, in terms of the neshama of the person. Hastira mafrat hayeshut, it catalyzes that fruitfulness. Hanigud machadesh ma'aseh bereshit, hashlila bona ulamot. Negation is a positive, constructive force. Soso manas libnas vahakasha ma'amika umarchiva et hatu'uda. Okay, then he says that the goal here, tu'udatenu, our task, our goal, b'ma'amar zeh, he lachdur, to penetrate the toch kivshona, to the furnace, shall toda'at, again, a furnace is where things are forged, right? Where this, what the Rav's been describing, where this plays out. The furnace in which this plays out, so toda'at isha halacha, again, reflecting that rich, multi-dimensional conception, understanding of halacha, v'la'amod al mahuto, and to understand that the essence shall kipus muzar u'mashuneh, this singular, unique type, hamitgalah la'olam, who is revealed to the world, mitav dalet amotav hamitzum tzamot, kishayadav aluch lachot b'shvir v'shilya. Ram, k'dei letzei didei chuvatein b'masa zo, aleinu leftach b'bi'ur sirtut ofyani, וקו יסודי בהשקפתו האנתולוגית של איש הדת בהשוואה עם איש הדת. But first we need to understand those two other ideal types of the איש הדת and איש הדס, שמתוכם של השינויים וההבדלים שבין שניהם, because by recognizing the differences between those two, that will be instrumental in understanding the Isha Halacha. Nakir Baal HaAvayos Abayi V'Rava. Okay, so we now do. I'm not sure if next Thursday we'll begin from Beis or if we'll come back to footnote 4. Footnote 4, I mean, all the footnotes are very important, but
the longer footnotes are even more important than the shorter footnotes.
So footnote 4 is very important, but I'm not sure which we'll begin with next time.